Luke 15, the prodigal son. It is a scripture that I really love. It's very kind of near and dear to my heart for a couple reasons. First of all, it was the first message I ever preached. Back in 1996, we came back from Bible college for a visit. My dad said, "Hey, do you want to preach?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Because, you know, when you're a Bible college student, you're younger, you think you know it all, right? And you got everything figured out and you have all the answers. I'm like, "Absolutely, you know." And but then when I started to work on this message, man, I put hours and hours and hours and hours into this message. And the closer the day got, the date to preaching, man, the more nervous I got, the more scared I got. Because, you know, it became a reality. I gotta stand up and have something to say. And hopefully, you know, there's something of substance there. And I started to get nervous. You know what? The day of, now, I don't know if you were here or not, but that first day I preached, it was miserable. I felt horrible. I was nervous. I was dry heaving at home before we got here. My dad was looking at me going, "Are you sure you're okay, son?" I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, you know, doing great." And I was struggling. I was white as a ghost. I had no color to me because I was just nervous. And I mean, you ever been there? You ever have to do something you get really nervous about? And I was just white as a ghost. And my dad's like, "Are you sure you're okay?" Yeah, I think I got this. We left out the door that day. It was winter, so I had like a trench coat on. Family's waiting in the car. And when I shut the door locked automatically. The problem was my coat got caught in the door. So I'm locked to the door. My dad had to come and unlock the door to set me free, you know. And he's thinking, "Jim, one last time, are you sure you got this? Are you sure you're all right? Because you're falling to pieces, and we're not even to the car yet." And I'm like, "Dad, I think I got this." But inside I was like, "I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have what it takes." So if you were here and I saw that, I was on the front row, or I don't know which seat necessarily, but we were all in the middle of worship, and I had my hands up worshiping the Lord. Probably looked like this because my back was to you. But what y'all didn't know is while we're all singing and worshiping the Lord, y'all thought I might have looked very spiritual, but here's what was going on in my head. "God, kill me now. Jesus, if you're going to rapture, now's the time to do it. Please show up so I don't have to do this. I don't want to get up there. I forgot everything I was ever going to say." And I was just petrified. Well, what eventually happened was by the time I got out of the pew and put my foot up here, boom, and I stood up here, there was just something that the Holy Spirit did. You know how it is when God tells you to do something, you think you don't have what it takes. Well, the truth is, we don't on our own. But there was a filling of the Holy Spirit that took place. And I had to learn that. And I had to experience that. But I tell you what, I was so nervous before I got up here. And to this day, people still ask me, they're like, "Do you still get nervous?" And the answer is yes, every time. I can't explain it. Every time I get nervous, because you want to know that you're saying what needs to be said and doing the right thing. But I remember that day, I just wanted to get out of there. Now, here's the reality. You're never going to have what it takes until you just fully obey. Now, you probably asked the question before, and I've asked this of myself, was, "God, when you filled me with your Spirit, or you filled me with that boldness or that confidence to do what needed to be done, why didn't you do that 3 hours earlier when I was at home locking my coat in the door, when I was whiter than a sheet, you know, and I was scared and nervous?" And I can't say that I've really got the answer to that. All I know is this: God told me to do something. The choice for me now was whether I was going to obey it or not. And I'll tell you, when you walk in obedience, God always gives you what you need. When God tells you to do something, go somewhere, when you function in obedience, God empowers you with His Holy Spirit to pull off that which seems impossible. Now, the second reason I really love this story of the prodigal son is because it's a scripture that's very near and dear to my heart, because I was the prodigal son. Probably like you, many of us can say, "I remember a time in my life when I was that prodigal son," or "I was that prodigal daughter," if you will, and I was running from the Lord. But, you know, some people run harder and faster than others. You've heard, I'm not going to give you the testimony, but I grew up in a Christian home, but there was a season where I wasn't living for the Lord. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I was in this prodigal position, and I had some lessons to learn in the middle of this. And one of the lessons is what I want to share with you today, and I had to learn to forget. And this is important, and you'll see why in just a moment, but you and I must learn to forget some things, and it's going to be a process as we'll find out this morning. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever discovered in your life that it's easier to remember things that you want to forget, but you forget the things that you should remember? You know what I'm talking about? Somebody hurts you, wrongs you. You wish you could just forget, erase my memory. I wish I could forget. But they're always, they just remind you, they're there. But then the other things that you should remember, like God's grace, like his anointing that's upon your life, you forget those things. You get to walk in that power that God gives you. And we forget those things, and it's kind of rather comical when we kind of take the primary thing we should remember and we make it secondary. There was a guy by the name of Victor Borg who told about the trip he went on. He was going on vacation with his wife, and they said they got in line at the airport, and they had all their bags. I mean, just so many bags. And they were going, and finally the husband goes, "Well, I wish we would have brought the piano with us." And she said, "Why in the world would we bring the piano?" And he said, "Because I left the plane tickets on top of the piano." Yeah, we can forget things at times. Even though they may seem small, they can be very important. You know, with my wife's permission, just so you know, somebody first service said, "Did you ask your wife if you could share that?" But years ago when we were in our 22nd year of being married, we're at a church picnic, I think, and somebody came along and the topic came up of how long we've been married. And they said, "How long have you been married?" And my wife answered and said, 21. And it was the wrong answer, to which I was like, that never happens. And then I questioned myself, of course. I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong. I'm like, no. I said, "We've been married 22 years. And she's like, "Oh yeah, that's right. We've been married 22 years. And we just kind of went on in the conversation. But inside I was like, I remembered. I remember, because I always forget. People be like, "How long have you been married?" I'd be like, "Oh, you know, God's just so good." And I'm looking at her like, "Throw me a number quick, you know." And, you know, now I can kind of remember, because we had kind of one of those milestone ones. We had our 30 years. So I can remember that for a little while. But once we hit 31, 32, 33, I start forgetting once again. But, you know, even though remembering that doesn't seem like a big deal, it sure was to me, because I finally remembered one of the years, right? And so there's things in life, though, that have you ever found you forget? And you wish you could remember. There's times when I've been talking to people, have you ever had this happen? And you're talking to them in this animated conversation and their name completely escapes you. You lost the name. I can't remember the name, and you're trying to remember what it is. And little things like that will happen in life, but here's where it becomes dangerous, is when you and I are trying to function in the gifts of God, or we're just living our life, and we forget that God has saved us by his grace. We have been forgiven and redeemed. He's empowered us with his Holy Spirit. So the things that you can do that you feel like you can't, you forget. You forget that you've been empowered by the very Spirit of God. And as we have these face-to-face moments with God, his desire is to lead us in life and to guide us. But sometimes, let me tell you this, church, sometimes God is going to lead you down a path you don't understand. Or, "God, I don't understand." You may get a report from somebody, a doctor, your bank, whatever, and it says that you're in one state and you're saying, "Lord, I thought we were doing good. I thought we've been being faithful, and I don't understand why we're going down this road." Sometimes God will lead you down them. And the question will always remain, are you going to follow his lead? Are you going to obey what it is that God has told you to do? And in those moments, all we can remember is what goes wrong instead of what goes right. In those moments, all we can remember is the negative and not the positive. And if we're not careful, what we'll do is this. We'll bail out on God. We'll bail out on something good that he's doing in our life. And we'll miss the work that he wants to do in and through our hearts. So we've got to be very careful about this. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a difficult situation. Whether it be, you know, fill in the blank, whatever your difficult situation is. Maybe it's in a relationship or a marriage, and you're saying, "I'm trusting God," but you finally get to a point where you feel like, "I've had enough," you want to bail out, not realizing you might be ready to bail out right before God brings that blessing. Maybe you're establishing a business, or where you work at, you're having some difficulties, and God is calling you to honor him in the middle of that difficult situation. When you get to a place where you feel like you want to bail, how do you not know? You might be right on the cusp of the blessings that God has for you. See, the last thing we want to do is bail out right before the work that God is doing in us is completed. And what usually happens is we bail out right before we gain the victory. Isn't that true? Seems like when, hey, I don't know if you've ever done it, but I have. I've thrown in the towel. I said, that's it. I'm done. And it's like, if I would have just waited just a couple more days, if I would have just waited, then all of a sudden I would have had the victory. But because I bailed, sometimes I have to start that process over again. See, what we do is we remember things that we shouldn't in life, like old habits, patterns, systems in our life that take place. And as soon as we start to sense that things are going there, you know what I mean? Here we go again. Going around this mountain one more time. And sometimes we've been around that mountain so many times, we tend to stop looking for God and we start relying more on our own flesh. We start relying more on what we think, and because we've been around this mountain a couple times. And we've got to listen to what it is that God has to say to us. Where is God leading us? And what is God saying in that moment? Now, Paul in the Bible, he had some things to say about this in the scripture. And we're going to get to Luke 15 in just a moment. I'm going to read a couple of those scriptures. But let me take you over to what Paul has to say. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It's in your outlines and it's up on the screen. Let's go ahead and read this one together, nice and loud. You ready? Go. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. That is key. Forgetting what lies behind. Paul says that the one thing I do is I learn to forget. Forget what? Forget everything? No, I forget what lies behind. I forget those things that are in my past. I have to choose to shake those off. I have to choose to let them go. Well, how do you do that? You can't just flip a switch and say, I'm going to forget that they hurt me. I'm going to forget that they cheated on me. I'm going to forget that they were speaking poorly about me behind my back. I'm just going to forget that they broke my trust. No, it's not something you just like forget. But what Paul talks about when he talks about forgetting what lies behind, what he's saying is this: you and I must make a conscious choice to lay that down. We must be willing to let it go and give it up. It's a choice. It's a conscious choice to say, I'm choosing to forgive, and then you fill in the blank. I'm choosing to forget, and then you fill in that blank. Because if you don't make that choice, then you're sunk. Forgetting always starts with a choice. And that's where it begins and that's where it ends. Because if you and I are not willing to make that choice, then we limit what God can do and will do in our lives and through our lives. You know, maybe, let me ask it this way. Are you here today and you want to see a breakthrough in your life? Well, the question is are you leaning into God and are you choosing to forget that which lies behind? Because that just might be the key to your breakthrough. Maybe you're here today and I'd ask, do you want to see health in your spiritual walk? You might say, you know, I come to church and I sing the songs, but I want more of a depth. I want more of a growth in my life with Jesus. Well, maybe the key to that growth is going to be by choosing to forget some things and to let some things go. And you can't just automatically do it and say, there, I feel good about that. You have to bring it. Let me put it this way. Bring it. It's like bringing it to the feet of Jesus and laying that down and saying, Jesus, I'm choosing to give this to you. So Lord, please heal my heart. Restore me. Help me to learn what it means to forget of those negative things or those people that have hurt me or those things that have been done unto me. We must choose to forget. Or as I said, lay that down at the feet of Jesus. For when we choose to do that, God, he can pick it up. And all of a sudden, he can bring healing into your life because you're saying, I want to walk in agreement with you, God. Your purpose, your destiny for my life. And if God has something that he wants us to lay down, when we do that, he picks it back up, and that which becomes that which was once bad becomes good. That which once was negative now becomes positive. God has a way of taking the scars in your life and turning them into beauty marks, something that he can use for the kingdom of God. So how do we forget, or at least the way that God would have us to? How do we learn to forget the way Paul is talking about? Because it's not just about like erasing our minds or erasing our memories. It's about making one choice and choosing to lay something down. And it's one that we must make time and time again, by the way. It's kind of like forgiveness. Learning to forget is kind of like learning to forgive in this regard. I wish, when I forgive, when people have hurt me before in life, and I say, Lord, I forgive them. Or I say it to them, I forgive them. Have you ever noticed if, when somebody's hurt you that you choose to forgive them? It could be a month down the road and it comes back up. And sometimes those old feelings come back up too. You know what you have to do when those come up? You have to forgive once again. It's a process. It's like I equate it to like peeling an onion. Nobody really likes to peel onions, do they? You know, because the deeper you get, the more potent that onion gets and brings tears to your eyes and causes problems. And sometimes when it comes to forgiveness, when we get one layer to the next layer to the next layer, we got to know it's a process. And choosing to forget is a process as well. You may have to choose to lay something down. Jesus, I'm laying that at your feet. I want that to be behind me. I want that hurt to be behind me. You will lay that down at Jesus' feet. And sometimes you may see somebody. You may hear a song or watch something that triggers something. And when it does, you've got to choose once again to lay that back down at Jesus' feet. It's a process. And when we learn to do this, it brings health back into our lives. We have to be willing to walk in that so that we can experience the release that God has for us. You see, when God forgives, it's immediate. It's done. And that's our model. But we're not always perfect at that, are we? I don't know about you, but I've forgiven people only to pick up that hurt once again. And when it comes to forgetting, learning to forget, there's times where I've said, Lord, I'm going to let myself off the hook. I don't know about you, but I've done some boneheaded things in my life, okay? I've made some poor choices. I've made some wrong decisions. And there came a point in my life where I had to say, Lord, I want to put that behind me. I want to learn to forget that, and I wish I could. I don't forget it like I remember that I did stupid things, but I'm choosing to lay that behind me. I'm choosing to forget and, in essence, step into the season you were calling me in towards, the season where you want to bless and use me. But learning to forget, it's a process. And so I've just got three things I want to give to you today so that you and I can both learn, according to what the Word of God has to say, how to learn how to forget, if you follow me. Number one is this. Write this down. Number one, the key to forgetting is remembering what's most important. If you want to learn to forget and lay some things down in the past, it starts with remembering what's most important. The prodigal son, let me take you back to him, Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son was in a sticky situation. Right? The prodigal son, here's what happened. He went to his father and he said, it's a parable in the Word of God. And he says he went to the father and said, Father, give me what you owe me. I don't want to wait until you're dead. I want you to give me my inheritance now so I can go off and do what I want to do. So give it to me now. And it says that the father gave him what he wanted to give him. And the son went off and squandered all that he had. He squandered his living. Now, the prodigal son, once he squandered everything he had, found himself in a sticky situation because he got what he wanted, but now he doesn't want what he got. You know what I'm talking about? He said, give me, give me, give me. We've got to be careful or we're going to become a world that just becomes entitled and says, it's all about me. Give me, give me, give me. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a place where we're hurting because we've not placed God as the highest priority. The key to forgetting is remembering what's most important, and what's most important is our Father God. That's what's most important. Think about this. The prodigal son went to the father and said, Father, give me what you owe me. In essence, this is what he was saying. You owe me. I deserve this. I'm entitled to it. It's mine. The son forgot what was most important. He forgot that God is God and he is not. He forgot that all that he has because of the Father. That's the only reason he has it. And now he's standing before the Father, declaring and demanding that the Father give him what he deserves. Now, let me just say something about that. If you ever tell God, God, give me what I deserve, that's a very scary question. Because if God really gave us what we deserve, folks, we wouldn't be around. We wouldn't survive. We wouldn't exist. Because what we deserve is death. What we deserve is hell. But because of the grace of God, it says that he came and made a way out of no way. So the son is in a sticky position, and he's in a place where he forgot something that's most important. He forgot that the most important thing is remembering that it's all about the Father. You are who you are because of the grace of God. I am who I am because of the grace of God. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. We still make mistakes, but we are to remember what's most important. We are to remember what's most important. And it says that the Father in the parable, it says the father gave it to him. What the prodigal son was doing was saying, give me what you owe me. And he would take it and he would convert it to cash, convert it to money, whatever it was that the father gave him. And then it says that the son would take all of that money and all of his inheritance and go to a galaxy far, far away. Okay? I didn't say that in the Bible, but basically that's what he did. He says, I'm going to get as far away from you as I can, and I'm going to go live like I've always wanted to live. And it says that when he went off and with that money, it says that he squandered it. If you look at the word squandered just means this, to spend extravagantly or foolishly. That's what it means to squander something. To squander something means to be negligent in the way that you're handling something. I don't know about you, but I know there's things in my past that I could think back on and say, I squandered that. I was negligent with that. I didn't wisely use the time God gave me or the gift that God gave me or whatever it is. Let me ask you the question this morning, because you could probably ask and answer yourself. Is there anything in your life that you've squandered that you just say, ah, man, I wish I could have that time back? Well, you may not be able to get that time back, but there is something that you can do, and it starts with simply this, knowing that the key to forgetting is remembering what's most important. I remember growing up as a younger person, I thought life was all about me. And I'm just being very transparent with you, but know this, I'm very aware that you've probably thought this way too at some point in your life. The world evolves around me. It's all about me. What mattered most was the attention I got. Now, I'm just going to speak for me personally. I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to accept me. I wanted everyone to just sing the praises of Jim because I just wanted the attention. You know what I mean? It's very selfish. It's very fleshly. But it's something I had to become aware of. And I had to figure out, what do I do with that? How do I surrender that? And here's the sad part. There's a lot of people that don't even recognize that in their life, and they continue to live that selfish way, that fleshly way, wondering why God's blessings are not present in their life, yet they're so focused on them and give God no time at all. So I live life wanting to make people happy, wanting to make people laugh, because if I could do that, that meant they liked me. And if they liked me, then I felt better about me. And when I was younger, when I had money, which wasn't very often, by the way, but when I did have money, guess what else I had? I had a lot of friends. You know why I had a lot of friends? Because they wanted my money. They didn't care about me. They just wanted to see what they could get out of me. They just wanted to see how they could use me. And foolishly, I squandered whatever I had and gave it to them because I wanted to be accepted, because I wanted to be liked. Do you see? I forgot something very important here, and I made the focus of my life all about Jim and all about being liked, and I forgot about the Father. I forgot about the Father. What I did was I squandered what I had, and I recklessly and foolishly lost whatever it was that I had going for me at that time in my life. You see, if we're going to learn to forget and be a people that learn to forget some things like that, that doesn't mean that we just ignore facts or deny truth. It means that we must develop deep within our soul an understanding that the key to forgetting is remembering what's most important. We've got to remember what's most important. What's most important is that the Father loved us so much that He gave. It's that He gave. He loves us so much. What matters and what's most important is that even though all was lost for the prodigal son, the Father was still there. He still had something to go back to. We can get caught up in sin and it trips us up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and then let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, sin will tangle you up. It will trip you up. It'll get you to focus on self, and it will eventually get you to squander all the good that God has given to you and sell yourself short. And you find yourself just like the prodigal in a pit going, what happened? What happened? I don't understand how I got here. You see, don't think that this message, by the way, is just for those who are new believers who need to come to Jesus so that they can learn about this. We as believers that have been walking with the Lord for years need to hear this just as much, if not more. Because Here's the danger, folks. We can walk with Jesus for 20 years. We can attend church. We can love him, and we genuinely mean it, but because we've been kind of jumping through the hoops or going through the motions, it becomes comfortable. It becomes kind of just rhythmic, a routine, but yet the question is there a depth in your heart, in your relationship with Jesus? Is there a depth to the degree that you are making sure you understand that God is most important? You're remembering what's most important. It all comes back to the Father God. You see, it's for all of us, this grace that God gives and this whole learning to forget. Because here's the thing that we can fall into. When we let God do something in an area of our heart, what'll happen is this. We'll feel relief. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a bad place and you just, you know, you're not in a place of peace maybe, and you want to get to that place, and then when God finally gets you there, you go, whew, okay, finally, good. And you feel peaceful. You feel like you're in this good place. You feel a calmness in your life. And then we just think, now let's just try to maintain this, right? Let's not make any more waves. Let's just try to live in this place. But you see, if we do that and remain in one place, how are we going to grow? If we stay stagnant and try to not create any waves, how are we going to see what's next that God has for us in life? You see, that'll lead us to a place of not wanting to do any more work. But God has done something in our lives so that we can go on to the next season or to the next step that he has for our life. He's got more work for us to do, folks. He's got more things that he wants to reveal to you, that he wants to release in your life. But we have to be saying, Lord, what is the most important thing? Let's forget what lies behind and focus on what's, and remember what's most important, our Father, the plans that he has for us. You see, God is, he's going to lead us to this place. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed in life. Success, by the way, is this. Success is walking with God. Success in walking with God, it's not about a place that you arrive at as much as it is a journey that you continually go on. That's success. Success is not coming to a place and say, I have made it. Now I don't have to do anything else. Success is a journey that you go on through the ups and the downs, and you know that his grace is sufficient in each and every season of your life. And this is what the prodigal son had to figure out. He had to discover this. He quit focusing on trying to forget. And he started, when he was in the pig pen, it says that he started to remember what was most important. He said, Dad, give me all that you owe me. He went off, squandered everything he had, realized, I've got nothing. My friends have left me. And then it says, it's in your outlines. It's up here in verse 17. Read this with me, because this is very powerful, and it's the key that we need. Go on to the next verse there, to verse 17. It's the key that we need in our life to make sure we understand what it means to walk in freedom. Verse 17, in your outlines, take a look at it and read it with me. Ready? Go. But when he came to his senses, that right there, very powerful. I remember, you know, growing up as a kid, people would always say things like this. What were you thinking? In a way, they were saying, you know, don't you see what's going on? What's going on? There had to become a time, though, of revelation when I came to my senses and I began to understand this. When he, the prodigal, came to his senses, some translations, by the way, say when he came to himself, when he was face to face with nothing but himself, he realized what it is that he was lacking in. That's when he saw his weaknesses. He realized that he was in want. He realized he didn't have what was most important. And it was in that moment that he came to his senses. You see, before then, he was just trying to make everything work in his own strength. Have you ever been there? Have you ever tried to live life, and instead of seeking the Lord and finding out direction in life, you just kept working hard to seek your own direction? Well, as long as I'm making money, as long as I got the payments covered, as long as, you know, my family's provided for, I'm just going to keep on trucking and doing this, but ignoring what's most important. It's kind of like, do you remember the baby toy? Babies would have this, or young children. You would take let's say a star, and or there'd be a star and a square and a circle and an oval, and you had to try to match the shape up with the object and put it inside that little ball thing. You know what I'm talking about? And so you'd see babies, and they would grab that object, and they would take a star, and they'd try to fit it in a circle spot, and they couldn't do it. So they'd get mad, and they'd try to shove a little bit harder. And they get more mad till eventually they just throw the piece down and not want to play with the toy anymore. But oh, what a joy when that kid figured out one of these pieces actually fits. And if I keep working at it, And if I keep looking, and if I'll be a learner, all of a sudden I can line that piece up and they start putting those pieces in the right spot until the day when they're able to do it all and they can figure it out. Now the next challenge is, how do they open it up and get those pieces back out again, right? That's their next challenge. But sometimes you and I can feel that way, like we're pushing up a boulder uphill. Instead of just sitting back and saying, God, what are your plans? What are your purposes? What are your vision? What's your direction for my life? Instead, we're trying to make it happen. Like we're cramming the star into a round peg and it doesn't work. And it frustrates us until we just want to give up and throw in the towel. Sometimes we feel that void in our life and we squander our life doing the same thing, just doing what we want to do. And the only thing that will fill that void in our heart and in our life, by the way, is Jesus. It's a relationship with him. You can try cramming so many other things into your life, by the way, and think it will fill that void, but it never will. That's how I ended up being the prodigal. I ran away from God. I started running to anything else and anyone else that would bring what I perceived as joy to my life. I started partaking in things I should not have partook in simply because I was trying to fill that void in my life. And it wasn't until I came to a place when I came to my senses and I said, God, I've tried everything. And it dawned on me. I wasn't even talking to God at that time. I just thought to myself, I've tried everything that the world has to offer. And nothing is filling that void in my life. Now, I told you I grew up in church. I knew about Jesus and I knew about God. But I just said, could it be? Could it maybe be that I need my own relationship with Jesus Christ? Could it be that maybe the void that I'm feeling in my life is because I've got this kind of this Jesus-shaped hole in my heart, and only Jesus can fill it. And so I had to figure that out for my own. You see, I can't live off the coattails of my mom and dad just because they're pastors. I can't live off of the coattails of you because you love me and we're friends, and if I hang out with you, maybe that'll be good enough. No, I needed my own relationship, my own understanding of how God loves me. And so it was at this moment where I came to my senses, and all of a sudden, Jesus started to fill that. And it was a process. I had to learn to forget. I had some things. I had many things, church family, that I had to lay behind me. Conscious efforts where I said, Jesus, I want to learn to forget. And I lay this behind me, and I press on to the greater things that God has for me. You see, when you discover that God has such a plan for you, when you come to your senses, it's then that you discover what's most important. What's most important. The children of Israel, by the way, they were no different than you and me. If you go back to the Old Testament, what you'll find is this, that the children of Israel forgot what was most important too. God told them, I've got a plan for you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to take you across the promised land. But it says that they forgot about the greatness of God. Here's what it says in Psalms chapter 106. It says, thus they being the children of Israel, exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. They forgot about God's greatness. They forgot about his miracles. And my challenge is, may we not forget, but remember what's most important. And may we be open to the Holy Spirit bringing us to moments in our lives where we're just face to face with him. And he reveals himself to us so that we have that same opportunity to return back to him. You see, God is not done with you yet, church. Did you know that? God is not done with you. Amen. He's got more for you. He's got plans for you, a purpose for you. And I know many times when somebody like a pastor says that, you're like, oh, okay, fine, but what are they? I'm waiting. And when the time is right, God reveals them to you. He'll use you in the church to minister to others. He'll use you in your neighborhood, wherever that might be, possibly, to reach out to others. He'll use you in your place of employment because it's all about bringing the glory to God. And he'll use us in that process. But many of us, we think that we're not good enough. We've bought a lie. We buy into a lie that the enemy gives to us. We start making excuses for, well, you know, God can't use me. I'm not good enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I'm too busy. I'm too good looking. Fill in the blank, whatever you want. We come up with these excuses for why we say God can't use us. But the reality is he can. But he needs us to come to this place of remembering what's most important. And that is the grace of God. So the key to forgetting is remembering what's most important. Then number two, write this down. The key then to remembering what's most important is having a right perspective. If you want to learn to forget, you got to remember what's most important. And while you're remembering what's most important, make sure you have the right perspective. Because without the right perspective, you will focus on the wrong thing. And so that means we got to have God's perspective. If you don't have a right perspective, if you don't have His perspective, then you won't be able to remember what's truly most important. You've got to have the right perspective. There's a man by the name of Thomas Wheeler. He was the CEO of Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance. And he was speaking one day and he told a story on himself. And he said, perspective is everything. He said one day, him and his wife were driving along an interstate and noticed that they needed gas for their car. So they pulled off to this attendant that was there who offered full service. So he tells the guy, the attendant, he says, hey, fill her up. And he goes off to the restroom. And so when he gets done, washes his hands, comes out, and he sees the gentleman and his wife talking. And they're kind of like animated, like, you know, you can tell when somebody knows somebody. And he gets to the car and hears them kind of end the conversation. Well, it was good to see you too, you know. You know, maybe we'll meet up some other time, you know, and I hope you're doing well. So he gets into the car, starts the car, takes off and says, man, you guys seem to like know each other. Is there some kind of history? And she said, yeah. She goes, I used to go to high school with him. I said, he was my boyfriend for a period of time in high school and that. And this guy, Thomas Wheeler, says, well, he says, boy, you're sure lucky I came along in your life so you could marry a CEO of a company. Otherwise, you'd have been the wife of a gas station attendant. She said, oh, honey, you misunderstand. If I married him, he would be the CEO of the company and you would be the gas station attendant. You got to have a right perspective. You see, many of us feel like that's all we are in life. We've got nothing big to offer. But when you connect with God and you get His perspective, He puts you on CEO status. You are saved by grace, and there's many things He wants to do in your life. And if we're going to remember what's most important, then we're going to have a right perspective. I don't know about you, but when I tackle something with my own perspective, it usually tackles me back. When I go at it with my own thinking and my own understanding, it usually hits me back. But when I get God's perspective, then all of a sudden, I can walk on broken glass because this is the direction the Lord's leading me. And I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. It's all through Christ who strengthens me. When I gain God's perspective on a situation or on a matter in my life, then I know that everything, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It may not appear okay at the moment. It may not seem okay right now. It may not even feel okay. But this is when we remember that we don't function by feelings, right? We function by faith. Remember that song? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Somebody needs to beat that guy up who wrote that song because it has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with faith. If you live your life based on your feelings, your life is going to be a disaster because one day you're going to feel like loving somebody and then the next day you're going to feel like killing them. One day you're going to feel like being forgiving and then the next day you're going to bring up that past again. You see, you don't live by feelings. You and I are called to walk by faith. We walk by faith, and we learn to forget. We make a conscious choice to take some of those things and put them in the past. But what if they come back up? Then you choose one more time to put it behind you and lay it at the feet of Jesus. That's how you learn to grow in your walk with Christ. If you've been hurt, you've always asked the question, I don't know how I can forgive. I don't know how I can move on. The answer is simple. It's the process that can be grueling, right? The answer is simple. You choose to forgive. It's a choice. You choose to lay that behind you and move on. But what if it comes up again? Then you have to make that same choice over and over again. Well, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, the alternative is this. Keep wallowing in the pig pen and see what that does for you. See how good that works out. Because all it does is bring misery into your life. But when you and I gain God's perspective on a matter, it changes everything. It changes everything. We know that everything is going to be okay. Feelings, they will lead you astray. Feelings will always lead you astray. But your faith in Jesus Christ will keep you going forward in what He's planned for you. If we don't have our faith strong, then here's what we do. We start making assumptions in our life based upon our feelings without having the facts. And even if you don't have the facts, that doesn't always equate to a right perspective. We have to have a right perspective. Here's what it said in the story of the prodigal son. In verse 14, it said, when he had spent all that he had, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. It's when he went off and did his own thing. It's when he decided to live life the way he wanted to without seeking the Father first. Then all of a sudden, it led him off in a different direction. All of a sudden, it led him to a place where a famine occurred. All of a sudden, it led him to a place where he began to be in want. And sometimes you and I will find ourselves in those places. And the question isn't, what did I do wrong necessarily? Or why is God mad at me? It's not necessarily even that. It's, are you in the right place that God has called you to be? Are you simply, when he speaks, are you simply obeying and following his voice? It's when you get to this place of being in want. It's here that that it's the things in life, you know, that you want. Sure, we all want things. How many of you know it's okay to want things, all right? It's okay to want that house or want that car or want a relationship. There's nothing wrong with wanting things in your life. Where it becomes dangerous is when the want in your life becomes greater than anything else and you're willing to compromise to get it. That's when it becomes dangerous. But God says that he will come and he will supply all of your what? Do you remember? He supplies all your needs. God is your need meter. He will meet all of your needs. I wish the Bible said God will supply all of my wants, but it doesn't say that because I got a lot of wants, just like you. But it says he will supply all of our needs in his riches and glory. But we understand this when we choose to forget. And we remember what's most important. We get a right perspective. You see, it's when we realize that God is our need meter, it shows us how often we should be in his presence, really. If God is the one that meets all of our needs, how important is it to be in his presence, checking in with him and saying, God, how are we doing? God, is this where we're supposed to be going? What do you say that I should do next? What's next in my life? What direction should I be going? Because if we're not continually coming into his presence, how are we going to hear him? Let me ask you this way. We take on this mentality. When do you usually, when you get sick, you get a cold or you get the flu or, I don't know, you break a bone or something and you've done everything you can in your own strength to take care of it, then the next thing you do is you go where? You go to the doctor, right? Why? Because I need to. I need somebody that has more information, knowledge, and wisdom than I do about this situation. So we wait until we're in this place of need before we go to the doctor. How many times, or maybe I should ask it this way, when do you go to the mechanic? Do you go on a regular basis to get your car checked up? Or do you only go to the mechanic when you need them? You know what I mean? Your car breaks down. Life's doing fine. Haven't changed the oil. I'm filling it with gas. Everything, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Then all of a sudden, your car breaks down. You need somebody that has more wisdom. You need somebody that knows how to come in and fix this thing. Now, the reality is when it comes to our health and it comes to our car, we probably should have some kind of a regular routine where we're taking care of it and maintaining it. But spiritually speaking, in our lives, we should be doing that as well. But many times what happens is we wait until something breaks down. And then we come to God and say, God, oh God, please help me out of this trouble. Please save me. And here's the thing. God's grace is so great that he will meet you right where you at. His grace is sufficient in all of the things that you go through. But what he desires more than anything is that you and I have a perspective that wants to be in constant communion with him. A relationship where we're routinely spending time with him. This is important to hear. Maybe the reason we don't see God move sometimes in the seasons we are at in our life is because we don't see the need for him on a daily basis, you know? Sometimes maybe we're stuck because we treated him like that mechanic or like that doctor, and instead of continually being in his presence, we just go to him when we need him. Oh, his grace is still sufficient, but he says, I want you to have a perspective that understands I want to walk with you and talk with you. God wants to reveal things in our life and cultivate that kind of a relationship so that we gain the right perspective. If you're going to learn to forget, you have to remember what's most important, the Father. And if you're going to remember what's most important, you got to have a right perspective. And then number three, write this down. Know that the key to having a right perspective is embracing the presence of the Father. The key to having right perspective is embracing the presence of the Father. It says in the parable that while he was still a long way off, the son that is, that his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced and kissed him. That's a very powerful thing because I don't know many fathers or many dads who would have a son cocky enough to come up to them and say, give me what you owe me. I'm not going to wait till you die. And the father actually gives it to him and then welcomes him back like this father did. You see, but it says that when the son came back, when the son came to his senses, it says that he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more to eat than I have, and here I am lost. And it says that when he came to his senses, he went back to the father, and it says that while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him. That means this, folks. That means that every day that dad was going out there looking for him. Every day he was going, is this going to be the day that maybe my son wakes up and comes to his senses? Will this be the day? The Father was always waiting, and the Father will always wait on us. His grace is always there for us, but he's waiting for us to come to this place where we embrace the presence of the Father. Not just know about it, not just know it's there, but embrace it and lean into that. While he was still a long way off, the Bible says. It says in the scripture that while the son was still a far way off, father ran to him, kissed him, put a ring on his finger, which meant basically this: you're back in the family. You're back in business with us. You're restored. And he did it immediately. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody hurts us or wrongs us and they take off and do their own thing, when they come back, are we as quick to embrace them? Are we as quick to say, welcome home? I would like to say, yeah, that we're pretty good at it, but the only way we're ever going to be good at that is when we're the ones that are also embracing the Father and leaning into that kind of a relationship. You see, when the son came back, the father was waiting. And when the father was waiting for him, he was waiting to welcome him home. He wasn't waiting to humiliate him. He wasn't waiting there saying, where have you been? The father wasn't waiting there saying, I told you this would happen. The father wasn't waiting there saying, next time, listen to me. The father wasn't waiting there so that he could say, when your mom's done talking to you, I get you next. He wasn't there to humiliate him or put him down. He simply was there to welcome him back into the family. He just said, you know, the son could come up with any excuse. Dad, you don't understand, I did this. And the father would just be like, I know. It's all good. Welcome home. Welcome home. See, God is not waiting for us so that he can put us down. His desire is for us to experience the presence of a father that has right perspective, so that he can give that to us. Because with that perspective, then we see with his eyes, we hear with his ears, and we gain his understanding, so that when we leave from that place, we leave with a right perspective. We leave with his perspective. And I'll close with this verse. If you and I are going to come to this place of learning to forget, we're going to have to learn to fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this: fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone else that could say the words, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus did that for you and for me so we could have a place not only in eternity, but so we could experience some of that heaven on earth. So that we could be in those moments where we feel like we've gotten distant from Jesus. We can lean into the Father. Why? Because we fixed our eyes on him, who him being the one that for the joy set before him endured the cross for you and for me. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you may be facing that you would classify as a difficulty or a negative situation, but I'm here to tell you this, that when you learn to forget and you focus on the Father, he'll give you his perspective. And whenever you have his perspective and lean into the Father, you will have all that you need to succeed. Success is not a destination. Success is a journey. And he wants to give that to you today. Will you pray with me as we get ready to go? Father, I pray today that in this moment and in this time, you would have deposited a seed within our heart. Maybe there's been a word that you just spoke to somebody that's here, somebody that's listening online, and you just reminded them, because one word that you speak can bring healing. It can be a key that unlocks our past. It can be a key that unlocks a freedom in our life. So Jesus, we ask today that you would help us to fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith, so that, Lord, we may walk in an understanding that greater is He that's within us than anything else in this world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen, church.